Ugh, another pointless video call where nothing gets done. I think you're on mute, David.
Sorry. What did I miss?
IT just approved Miro for the whole company.
Miro? That's the...
online whiteboard. For team collaboration. We can make these long video meetings so much shorter with Miro boards. We can share ideas, feedback, and updates on them whenever. Actually see what we're talking about.
It's all online.
Miro will make our flexible work setup so much easier, with one virtual space for our brainstorms, projects, presentations.
Oh, that sounds kind of amazing. So I don't need to wake up for 6 a.m. calls with the London office anymore.
Now you're getting it.
Don't let time zones get in the way of your team working well together. See why 99% of the Fortune 100 trust Miro to get good work done from anywhere. Get your first three boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
You don't do ordinary. Your pet is your passion. There's nothing exotic about that. Just like you, Missouri nutritionists geek out over the extraordinary creatures that walk, crawl, fly, and swim the planet. We bring professional-grade, zoo-quality animal nutrition to you, so when it comes to mealtime, you do zoo. Zoo it to it. Learn more about Missouri foods for your extraordinary pet at Missouri.com.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
The leaders.
Senator Ted Cruz.
Thank you, Chris. It's always great to be with you.
Former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker.
Hey, thanks for having us on. I appreciate it very much.
The newsmakers.
Folks like Peter Schweitzer.
Hey, Chris, it's great to be on with you.
Ann Coulter.
Great to be here, Chris. Thank you.
He's colossal. Stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
Their first concern is not for the security and safety of the people of this country. Their first concern is protecting their left-wing behinds.
The Signal Storm Podcast.
I know I've told this story many, many times, but I think it's something that we can't touch on enough. In particular, when you know reality sucks so badly. In particular, under the yoke of Democrats who are following the orders of Xi Jinping in communist China. I think that we have to be able to still dream. This is what the left wing wants to rob from you the most. Your hope. They want to take away your hope. It is useless to resist them. It is useless to stand against their grooming of your children. You can't stand in the Democrats' way of forcing transvestite story hour on your kids, of forcing the militant LGBTQ ABCDEFG cultural Marxist agenda on your kids. You can't stop them. There's nothing. They're going to take your money and they're going to do what they want to do because they're big government and they're the party of big government. What is the antidote to this is, and I get these emails all the time from you guys saying, man, it's hopeless. And it's not. Science fiction has always been aspirational. It has always prompted us to see the best in ourselves when it's done right. And left-wing loons in Hollywood are doing their best to screw up, you know, good science fiction. I'll give you a prime example. Star Trek Discovery. They are the ones who completely destroyed the Star Trek franchise by making it go woke. Casting Stacey Abrams as dictator of Earth. I mean, seriously, come on. But and you know what? The first three seasons of Star Trek Picard, all woke BS, turning characters that were once heterosexual into homosexuals just to check boxes, just to basically say, look at us, we're virtue signaling and declining to tell good stories, compelling stories. Now, I got to be honest with you, Star Trek Picard's fourth season has remedied that. It's really good. It is really good, as is the new series called Strange New Worlds. Its first season is in the books. This is the Enterprise commanded by Christopher Pike before Captain Kirk. Spock is still in there, but this is, and that was the Paramount folks and CBS getting back to basics saying, look, we're losing audience and our audience is rebelling against us because all we're doing is checking boxes and going woke. wonderful for all the actors, but what good are you? What good is your acting if nobody wants to watch the crap you're producing? And that's what it was. Star Trek Discovery is crap. The first three seasons of Picard was crap. And as has been most of the science fiction offerings, and it's getting into comics and all this kind of stuff. I mean, Jonathan Kent going LGBTQ, ABCDEFG, cultural Marxism, not consistent with storytelling. You know what? The people's sexuality has never been a central focus of telling good stories about the common human condition. But what the left wing has done is focused on what divides us. And who the hell wants to see that? We get enough of that in everyday life. Wouldn't it be great just to have a series that talks about our commonality, our common human condition? And that's what sci-fi used to be, saying, you know what? There are bigger fish to fry out there than who you're sleeping with. And that's what science fiction used to be, man's higher pursuits. But leave it to Hollywood and the American left, and frankly, the worldwide left, to screw that up. But let me give an example, and I know I've talked about this before with all of you. Let me give an example of what sci-fi used to be. Old Star Trek, Star Wars even, and Battlestar Galactica, the old original version. Now, for those of you who don't know what Battlestar Galactica is about, Battlestar Galactica has a colony of humans, several colonies actually, 12 of them, that were wiped out by a totalitarian, Nazi-esque, communist-like robot race called Cylons. Right? Sound familiar? Yeah. That the common human struggle for freedom against the evil of totalitarianism. In this, if you want to equate it to real life, the Cylons are Joe Biden. The Cylons are the Democrats. And the good guys are those of us who want to remain free from their tyranny. Now, you always have left-wingers out there saying, hey, you look at these left-wing extremists, whether they be in America or, say, China. And whenever there's a left-winger out there who wants to impose slavery, there's always left-wingers who want to surrender to it. The Neville Chamberlains of the world, for those of you who know your World War II history. And this is the scene that you're going to be hearing here between Lauren Green, who is playing the part of the conservative and the right-minded commander of what's left of humanity, and Ray Milland, who is playing this left-wing lunatic who says, you know what, the best way to placate communists and totalitarians is to surrender to them. That way they'll leave us alone. That way they're not going to enslave us. They just, as long as we're not a threat, they're going to leave us alone. And of course, every lesson of history tells us why this is wrong. But listen to this original Battlestar Galactica back and forth. I know I've played it before, but I think it really tells the tale of what we're looking at today.
Now, why should they believe we are now willing to accept that which we've always found to be unacceptable, to live under Cylon rule?
Because we would destroy our arms to prove we're willing to live in peace.
Destroy our only means of defense.
Or attack. May I remind my brothers, we did not have conflict with the Cylons until we intervened in their relations with other nations.
Yes. Yes, you are right. We did not come into conflict with the Cylons until we helped our neighbors, whom the Cylons wished to enslave.
Taiwan? Come to mind, folks? Hong Kong? Come to mind, folks? That's right. We did not, we freedom lovers, which excludes all of you Democrats and all of you Marxists out there, we freedom lovers don't come into conflict with communist China until they want to impose totalitarianism and slavery. But right now, communist China is enslaving 3 million Uyghurs, and the Democrats can't love them enough. Right now, there's a genocide going on in China, and Democrats can't love them enough. There's the communist Chinese are the biggest purveyors of hatred of blacks, and Democrats can't love them enough.
And until we help the Hazaris get back their nation, taken by force by the Cylons.
Correct. If we mind our own business, there's every reason to believe that the Cylons will leave us alone.
Uh-huh. Because that works out so well. You know, I mentioned Neville Chamberlain. This was the attitude of the left wing in Europe. If you just leave Hitler alone, and you don't interfere, he's going to leave you alone. How'd that work out for Europe? No, once leftists taste power, they want more. And it's insatiable. Look at the growth of government in the United States. You give them an inch, they will take 10,000 miles. Look at how out of control our federal bureaucracy is right now. You give them a little bit and they want more, because their appetite to control, their appetite to make sure that whatever they do to you, they can't be punished for. Their appetite to insulate themselves from any accountability is insatiable. And this is exactly what we're facing right now. And you know what, frankly, folks? The fact that we no longer teach this stuff in schools is what has led to this sorry state of affairs about the history of left-wing thought, the history of totalitarian thought.
If you've all come to this council to turn your backs on the principles of our fathers and the lords of Kobol, from whom all colonies evolved, you do so with my utter contempt.
Democrats.
Warriors are always the last to recognize the inevitability of change.
Yes, change. Hope and change. Yes, you go from a free society to one that is enslaved. You go to from a society that's prosperous and guards human dignity to one that doesn't, that subjects its children to the LGBTQ, ABCDFG cultural Marxism, to transvestite story hour, and perverts the body politic. Science fiction, it is what dreams are made of. And humans who aspire to be better dream of a better world. And it's what the Democrat socialist mindset wants to take from you. They want to tell you that it's hopeless. They want to steal your dreams. My friends, I challenge you to dream big anyway. Because what you're going to find, when your dreams get big, the Democrats, the socialists, the communists, in America and worldwide, they get really small. Dare to dream big anyway. It is something I have partaken in. I wrote a book called Liberty Rises, where conservatism met science fiction. And I'm glad I'm not the only one. The publisher of Texas Scorecard, Michael Quinn Sullivan, has dipped his toe into this realm, and he talks about his latest offering, a book you're probably want to get your hands on. That's coming up on the Salcedo Storm podcast. Don't miss it.
And now a word from our sponsor.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to The Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Why get your news from people who don't share your values? Get news stories from Texas Scorecard. We provide real news for real Texans. Go to TexasScorecard.com today.
All right, folks, time to get to our guest, a man who has been a staple in Texas politics, well, since I got to Texas, certainly, but well before that, the publisher of Texas Scorecard and the author of the new book, Finding the Void, Michael Quinn Sullivan. Hello, my friend.
Hey, Chris, it's great to hear your voice.
And right back at you. Look, the day we are recording this podcast, history has been made. The indictment of President Trump has been handed down with a rather flimsy case. This is a misdemeanor that was already expired on the statute of limitations that Alvin Bragg, the Soros-funded DA of Manhattan, has resurrected and attached it to a federal violation, which federal officials have looked at and declined to prosecute, but a New York district DA is going to do it. Your reaction from 30,000 feet up?
Well, I actually sent my lawyer this question that I'm not certain if Donald Trump has to count the indictment as an in-kind contribution to securing the GOP nomination. I feel like that maybe he does because, way to go, Alvin Bragg. If your intention was to make it real easy for Donald Trump to again be the president of the United States, you just did it, pal. I think that the outrage from normal people, from real humans who look at this stuff and say, wait a second, you're basing your case on the word of a porn actress and a convicted felon? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, normal people look at this and say, this is crazy. This is insane. This is not indictable stuff here. But yet, you know, the politics of personal destruction, the Democrats work in a world where fiction is reality, whether you're talking about indictments or gender or whatever else. So this is kind of par for the course.
It's been many years since we've had to contend with the Soviet Union, but Molly Hemingway of The Federalist reminded us that back in the Stalinist era in the Soviet Union, there was an expression, show me the man and I'll show you the crime. Meaning this is how Stalinists and leftists, which more and more seems to define the Democrat Party, Stalinists and leftists, this is how they basically defeated their political opposition. Is they basically accused them of crimes and convicted them of crimes. And no matter whether it was true or not, they just made it stick and made these people go away, which is what Democrats are all about.
Yeah, when you come posting about all the stuff on that cesspool known as Twitter, one person, clearly a leftist, responded to me and said, I just don't understand how it's possible that Donald Trump could even be, allowed to continue running for office since he's clearly going to jail. Okay. And my response, which I'm pretty sure as I could, come the back and forth, like you could just see the melting brain leaking out of her ears, because she'd never considered the idea that innocence until proven guilty applies both ways. Had not considered that maybe there can be someone who I dislike but who doesn't have to go to jail. And I think that in many ways that's kind of the driving difference in the modern leftist Democratic Party and maybe the Democratic Party of 30, 40 years ago, is that today they actually believe government is supposed to be used against their enemies, and that facts are to be manipulated to allow for this weaponization. And it's precisely, Chris, I mean, you nailed the head on the nail. There's nothing new under the sun. You nailed it right on the head. The old USSR line that you captured it perfectly, as you always do, because you're a professional in all this stuff.
Yeah.
But
I got to thank. I got to give.
That is where the Democrats are.
And I got to give a hat tip. It was Molly Hemingway who reminded me of it. So I got She is one of the sharpest people we've got on our side. And this is there is going to be a price for this. And it's not just that I am rooting that the Democrats earn and get what they deserve because of this, but what it's going to do to the country, what it is going to do to our system of justice, what it is going to do to this country is going to be perhaps irreparable, and we'll be dealing with it for decades to come.
Yeah. You are so right, and I think this is something that particularly folks on the left, but even folks on our side, get so caught up in the zeal and zest of the moment that we forget about little things like precedent. We forget about the way our actions communicate into the next generation, and that there are going to be people, Chris, and guys like you and me and a lot of our friends are going to have to be working against us. There are going to be people on our side who are going to say, well, gosh, I just got elected, my brother-in-law just got elected district attorney of some place or other. I'm going to go after some Democrat using the same standard. And it's going to completely undermine our judicial system. The reason, no one should misunderstand this fact. The reason we have a judicial system is so that our arguments and our concerns and our injuries are played out calmly and civilly rather than through the barrel of a gun or the tip of a knife. You know, that's why we have a judiciary, is so that we can be reasoned. And if we're chucking reason out the window with the judiciary, well, there's a whole lot that gets chucked with it at the same time.
Yeah, Alan Dershowitz, famed Democrat, saying of the Trump indictment, they have made a foolish decision which will cause the case to be thrown out, I think, on the statute of limitations grounds. Foolish, yes, as far as Bragg's career. I mean, it's well, actually, in New York, this is probably a resume enhancement. Every other place in the civilized world, he's going to be a pariah. But I think what troubles me the most is the ramifications for our country. And I think they're going to be dire, and I think they're going to be grave, because our side, and perhaps they shouldn't be, will not be restrained. And this is going to invite political retribution, and the divisions in this country will become even deeper than they already are. Folks, we're talking to Michael Quinn Sullivan, the publisher of the Texas Scorecard. And speaking of acts of fiction like Bragg's case and the other cases pending against President Trump, you have penned a new book. And look, I've got to be honest with you, when I was on vacation when you notified us that this book was published, it's an act of fiction. It's science fiction. And you may or may not remember, I did Liberty Rises back in 2012, yes, 2013, which was also science fiction, combining science fiction and my passion, conservatism. I am dying to know what inspired you to write Finding the Void.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate it. But fiction is so much fun. I think that a lot of us, you know, get a little embarrassed when we talk about, you know, the guilty pleasure of reading fiction, like we're all supposed to be reading, you know, von Mises, you know, in our downtime or something. You know, growing up, I was a kid who I loved Isaac Asimov. I loved, you know, Arthur C. Clarke, and you just go down the line of all those folks. And I was literally hiking in Colorado a couple of years ago, and you know, it's a beautiful starry night, and I had downloaded a couple of magazine articles. I have kind of a weird interest in archaeology, and there was just a series of things kind of blended together, literally sitting with my son around a campfire, you know, kind of talking about these things I was reading. And then, you know, of course, next couple of days, the story started forming in my head. You know, I've been a writer all these years. Maybe I should try writing this down into something and see what could happen with it.
And the concept and the concept that you developed. Well, I know you don't want to get, I don't want to give away too much. Can you give us the basic framework of what you're exploring?
Yeah. So there are a couple of things I'd mention. You know, the challenge I made to myself when I was writing this was I wanted to try to write something. You know, so much of my life and your life has been talking about, you know, the good guys and the bad guys. You know, there's an evil protagonist out there. You know, an antagonist and a protagonist, and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, you know, I want to try to write something where there is action, there is a sense of concern, all the, you know, mystery, but yet where there's not exactly a bad guy. Where you can kind of show this human drama playing out in a way that's not, you know, people shooting each other or something. So that was one of the challenges I set myself. And so the story begins with a guy who has literally invested his life creating billions of dollars in wealth in pursuit of a very secret passion that as a young man he saw some strange readings on a science experiment that made him want to know more. And so he built this massive industry for this very private quest. A private quest ended up being lived out by his son, who then, you know, kind of and it's the son who the book tracks of discovering what his father had seen from far away. The son finds it close, and there's a whole nother mystery that he has to unravel then.
Okay, so there is a mystery about all of this. Okay, very good. So since I don't want to give away too much and I want people to pick up your book, I don't mind because mine's been out for an awful long time. As I said, I combine science fiction and my passion of conservatism. And what I found when I was writing about a group of American patriots, it's kind of like, it's kind of like Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged offering meets Stargate meets a little bit of Star Wars. It has all those elements in it, but basically good guy versus bad guy. But this group of patriots has their own mystery to unravel, and they're seeking what the original founders of our country were seeking. They didn't come to America's shores searching for gold. They came, well, some of them did, but what they ended up finding was freedom and liberty and religious freedom and liberty and the ability to enjoy the fruits of one's labors. And you can tell these stories, I found, in science fiction and remove yourself from the modern day to maybe make people examine, hey, what's really going on today and have a different perspective. Do you do that in your book?
I do try to. And then for me, it's looking at the dynamic of family relationships and the idea of industry, that industry that one man's private passion really can be the engine for employing people and doing a lot of great things. And we've been trained to be, when you think about fiction, dismissive of the free market.
Right.
But yet, when we look through history, the greatest discoveries in history, whether you're talking about archaeology, whether you're talking about technology, or even basic science, has happened because of the free market, not because of some program put in place by a bureaucrat. And so now I wanted to celebrate those kinds of ideas. And I think that we've allowed ourselves to in modern science fiction, there's this very unfortunate trend of everything has to be, the future must be leftist, and yet you don't have to be that way. You don't have to have this dystopian future where all the good guys are communists and the bad guys are free marketeers. That isn't exactly the future we have to have, but yet for various reasons, we've all been kind of conned into that. And while Gene Roddenberry with Star Trek was able to tell some very political stories, he did so without a heavy hand. You look at the Star Trek of today, and it's this very heavy hand in your face, Stacey Abrams as the president of the Federation.
Oh my gosh.
Come on.
Yeah.
Give us a break.
She should have been cast as a small planet, if you ask me.
Science fiction should be a place where we can explore ideas, explore passions without having thrown in our face a bunch of leftism. And, I hear that from a lot of different folks, all blogs I read. So that's, again, that was kind of the challenge I gave myself, was how can I write this story in a way that isn't leaning into just
right.
kind of the easy tropes of the day.
Well, two things. First off, that joke that I told was borrowed from my buddy, Rob Carson. We were discussing that very same thing about Stacey Abrams being cast as the dictator of Earth. And he said, yeah, she should have been cast as a small planet. Number one. Number two, science fiction traditionally hasn't been what has devolved into with Star Trek Discovery and the first three seasons of Picard, which, by the way, I've got to say the fourth season is outstanding because they got back to storytelling and they got back
right.
to good guys versus bad guys and freedom is good. They got back to that very basic stuff. And remember Battlestar Galactica, the original Battlestar Galactica?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Glenn Larson at his best.
Yes. And they were, science fiction has always been aspirational for human freedom and liberty, to be the best we can be, until this dark era where some of these disjointed millennials have started getting jobs as writers. And I think that it's incumbent to guys like you and me to remind science fiction readers. And by the way, a lot of people who love sci-fi rejected Star Trek Discovery, rejected
That's right.
the first three seasons of Picard. Nobody wants to see your dystopian future. Everybody wants to see science fiction to be the best we can be, to be aspirational. And I think the folks at Paramount and other sci-fi folks are starting to recognize that. And I think books like yours and maybe mine, it's kind of why I wanted to do it.
Yeah, and look, Matt, I think there's that sense where we're, you know, it really is kind of telling where the modern left is, and you know, I would contend the reason so much of entertainment is so lefty is because a lot of us told our kids, and we were told when we were kids, you know, good people don't go into the theater. You know, people like us, you know, we go do productive things. We don't do art. We don't do television. We don't do movies. So we've kind of surrendered that ground over the last 20, 30, 40 years mm-hmm. to the left. Mm-hmm. You know, think of Jimmy Stewart, a staunch conservative, a staunch Christian, and you know, a leading man, right? You know, you don't have that today. All those guys are, you know, cowed and cowardly. But yeah, I think so when you see the fiction, there are, you know, all these people on the left driving fiction generally, but science fiction in particular, everything is so dark because all of them kind of recognize that their philosophy, when taken to its logical conclusion, means that they will be lorded over by a tyrant. And the best that they can hope for is to be the last person, you know, executed. You know, that's literally what they have to look forward to if they get their wishes.
Yeah.
And so of course they're, you know, the science fiction is grim. Of course, you know, everything is you know, cast in these gray, drab tones, because that's where their worldview leads. And like you said, I think it's incumbent on us on the right to start saying, wait a second. There is joy. Let's rediscover the joy of a future that is aspirational and something that we can look forward to.
Let's quit playing down to the left, because that's exactly where you're going to go. If you subscribe to that, you're going to go down. That is for sure. Michael Quinn Sullivan, the name of the book is Finding the Void. He is the publisher at Texas Scorecard. My friend, I appreciate the visit and the commentary.
Thanks. I appreciate you, Chris. You're a fantastic patriot.
That puts a wrap on this Salcedo Storm podcast. Do me and yourself a favor. Visit a couple of websites, chrissalcedo.com and texasscorecard.com. Head there to get informed and to figure out how to track us down across several mediums. The Chris Salcedo Show is on Newsmax TV and is on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas, and simulcast with TNT Radio Worldwide. And Texas Scorecard is fighting the good fight in the journalistic ranks, actually covering the activities and exposing the debaucherous activities of Democrats. The mainstream press can't say that. Till we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by government, but rather by how much power is reserved for you and me. We, the people. Stay safe, my friends.
You don't do ordinary. Your pet is your passion. There's nothing exotic about that. Just like you, Missouri nutritionists geek out over the extraordinary creatures that walk, crawl, fly, and swim the planet. We bring professional-grade, zoo-quality animal nutrition to you, so when it comes to mealtime, you do zoo. Zoo it to it. Learn more about Missouri foods for your extraordinary pet at Missouri.com.
We made USAA insurance to help you save. Take advantage of discounts when you cover your home and your ride. Discover how we're helping members save at USAA.com/bundle. USAA. Restrictions apply.